Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
The ball was served, and it was coming through the air, and I said, oh, this is my moment. I got it. It was like the light shined. Remember, okay. It was off a serve, and yeah. I was like, this is it. And I smacked it back. And I was like, look at that, Vince. I got us a point. And you said... No, go ahead. What'd you say?
Gotta let it bounce, jackass.
And there it is.
You called him a jackass.
Ask us if we've played pickleball since.
Because I just told him.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I'm going to tell you about a fascinating situation that developed with one of these ransomware attacks. And the person we talked with is going to reveal exactly how foreign actors gain control of a company's data and use it to elicit ransom payments. And in this case, the company paid, and it worked out. And that's sometimes what has to happen. And it's particularly relevant because City of Sheboygan is dealing with a ransomware attack right now. Our information this morning is that some outside party gained access to the city's network earlier this month. They've been working on this. And this is exactly how the person we're about to share our conversation with details what happens. You find out that you've been attacked, that some of your data is hijacked or all of it, things that you need to operate within your company. And then these outside actors let you know what it will take to get your data back. And so City of Sheboygan is dealing with that at the moment. And the person who's going to tell us exactly how this all plays out is someone you've heard on the air here at WTMJ.
Yeah, Steve Wexler, our friend and colleague at GKB. He was helping run a different cluster of radio stations in the Illinois area when an email came through, and they realized they had been attacked.
I got an email, and the email said, "Dear friends," it was very friendly, "Dear friends, by now you may have realized that your company's data has been breached and locked down, and we're here to help you." And I'm reading this email going, "You're here to help me. Who are you?" Well, it was the bad guys. The bad guys email you and say, "Hey, we've done this to you." The email was very friendly and warm. In fact, it said, "Please don't gnash your teeth. This is not a time for hurt feelings or being upset. We will help you for a certain price, unlock your data, and you guys can all get back to work." They have like a customer service number that you can call.
They call it customer service?
They did. They said, "We have a customer service team that is standing by." I was the customer. Now, when you asked me when we knew.
You didn't want to be the customer.
We did not. In fact, they created the customer by attacking the company. What's interesting is when you get the email, when I got the email that they had infiltrated the infrastructure of the IT, of the data, it turns out they had already been lurking around for 10 to 14 days. So one of the things I learned during this, Eric and Vince, is that when the bad guys attack, they're actually already in your house for about 14 days looking around to see where you keep the money, where you keep the jewelry, and you just don't know they're there because they're trying to figure out what's the value of the data that they can find. Then when they figure out, we got enough, that's when they tell you that they've invaded.
So did you try to recover anything? Did you call IT guy and say, "Hey, what can we get back?"
Yeah, well, we knew the people in the radio stations all of a sudden started realizing they couldn't access things like financial data, payables. The finance team was the first to realize something's really wrong. And then all the people that do what you guys all do, which is press buttons and you hope that audio fires, they all of a sudden couldn't fire any audio. So they started realizing something was very wrong. The IT department starts taking you offline, servers, anything connected to the outside world. But of course, by then, it's too late.
Talking with Steve Wexler, you know him from Good Karma Brands, but Steve was running a different radio operation and was cyber attacked, held ransom.
Yes.
I kind of joked, but do you know, was it Russia? Was it Belarus?
So the cybersecurity firm, which is one of the things you do, you end up having to hire outside help to figure this out. They believe that this particular, what they call threat actor, I just called them the bad guys, but they're the threat actor.
They're a threat actor.
They believe that they were in Russia, perhaps Belarus, but they've interacted with them before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these threat actors are familiar to the cybersecurity community.
So did you call the customer service number?
We did not. So all the communication with the bad guys happens on what's called the dark web, which I've heard about, but I had never experienced. I don't know where you find the dark web, but the cybersecurity people know how to go. They give you a code. The good guys, or I guess the bad guys, give you a link, and that's where you can communicate with them. And they suggest, by the way, you better communicate with us right away because the price will go up and we'll do more damage unless you reach out. So you end up getting a law firm, first of all, a cybersecurity law firm. You get a cybersecurity company that's reputable. By the way, for business owners out there, check your cyber insurance because this was new for me and for our group, and they will guide you because they deal with this. This isn't new to them. It was new to us. And so the cybersecurity folks get on the dark web and begin a dialogue with the bad guys. And so I have like back and forths. It almost looks like the old DOS computer, the black screen with the green letters and the cursor blinking. That's exactly what it looked like.
So you paid it?
We did. We ended up,
Before you get to that, was there a conversation of like, should we pay it or should we call the cops? Or what?
Yeah. So you are supposed to let the FBI know because this is an international incident. Yeah. And so you file a report with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They said, we encourage you not to pay a ransom. Well, thank you. But how else are we going to – we didn't know what to do.
What do you got?
What have you got to go find these guys and get our data back? I mean, every situation is different. Now, our data was locked, not stolen. There's a difference. If I steal your data, I go in and I take it and I have it and I can go sell it. I can find a third market. If it's personal information, by the way, social security numbers, addresses, IDs, the market is different for that kind of info because I can now violate the confidence of like hundreds or thousands of employees. They locked our data. The way that was described to me, it's as if kidnappers came into your house and kidnapped your family. They're still in your house, though, and you just can't see them or talk to them, but they're still in your house. Our data was still on our servers. We just had no access to it. It's creepy, isn't it? That's how it was described to me. So we ended up in a dialogue. They say, by the way, to show our good faith, send us a couple of the locked files. We will unlock them and send them back to you so that you can see that we are good on our word. So I said to our guys, well, if we end up paying some kind of ransom, how do I know once the money – by the way, it's Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's Bitcoin, which, of course, I don't know if you carry that with you. I don't know how you – I had to figure out how do you get some of that. He said, well, you can trust them. And I had to pause and go, I can trust them? These are the criminals that stole all our data. Mm-hmm. And I was told that you can trust them because if they get a bad reputation, nobody will ever negotiate with them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. If you kill the hostage every time, there's no sense in negotiating.
Exactly.
Right?
So he said you can trust them. Once you pay within an hour or two, you'll sit around. It'll be a very long 2 hours, but your data will start unlocking. So we ended up going back and forth with a negotiation. We ended up at a price that was high, but it's what we made a business decision to do. Then you have to go find a digital bank because you're dealing in a currency of Bitcoin to, by the way, an undisclosed location in Eastern Europe, which, by the way, you'd then have to clear a federal security money laundering check because the federal government is like, wait, where is this
what
money?
Are you doing?
Who is getting it? They had to check to make sure this isn't like a terrorist group that's on like a watch list and it's quite involved. Finally, you get the approval, you transfer the money, and then literally on a Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting there at my computer on the phone with our IT person and all the people that were helping, and all of a sudden, click, 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 click. All the files that had been locked were unlocked, and all the data was restored for a price.
Did you go on Yelp then and give them a good review?
Great customer service. they're very responsive. By the way, once it's done. Oh, and here's the other thing they give you for the price. By the way, they say for this price, we'll unlock your data. And when we're done, we will send you a report on how we infiltrated your IT. And we have some helpful tips on how to prevent this from happening again.
Wow.
We're just like an account to them. They just go and try to get as much money from each one of these as they can.
Talking with Steve Wexler, he was running a broadcast operation that was cyber hacked. My last question for you was along those lines, Wex, is so they told you how they got in. What was it?
They did. So it was a little hard to fully understand because there's lots of different ways the bad guys can get in, right? The one we all know about is don't click on the link. It can open up malware and viruses and all the rest. So we still think that may have been the entry, that they sent something to somebody, somebody clicked on it, next thing you know, they were in. But they also alluded to what they called a brute force attack. And what I learned about this is that what they do is they go out on the dark web and they buy admin passwords and different combinations of domains, and they just blast them out there and seeing if any of them fit. It's sort of like just throwing your line into the water, hoping that maybe a combination works. And so the experts think that they might have, by program, by bot, I guess, found the correct combination of password and domain name and by brute force got into the IT system.
Boy, I sure hope that's the case and it wasn't Jane in accounting.
Who just clicked.
Just clicked it. Oh, that looks interesting.
Click. Or Vince in programming or somebody that would
never happen.
That would never happen, right?
Oh, Steve, really appreciate it. Fascinating story, and I'm glad ultimately it sort of turned out okay.
Yeah, I mean, it did. I mean, you know, the old saying is all it takes is money. You know, there is cyber insurance that most companies have. I would say for any business owner, though, who's hearing this, check your cyber insurance. Because now that I think about it, it wasn't robust enough. It has limits on the ransom, limits on the legal fee, limits on the cyber. So just as a little bit of a piece of advice, check it to make sure that it's robust enough. You may have to pay a little more in premiums, but I can tell you firsthand, it is worth it.
And we've heard Jeff Salasinski from R&R Insurance on this show talk about that exact thing. One, if you don't have it, you need cyber insurance. And two, if you do have it, it's probably not enough. And today is a good day to start looking at that because here's a real life example. And then secondly, don't roll your eyes at the IT guys. We all do when they say, hey, don't click on this stuff. And they send the like, we have this thing in our company, the fish alerts, the fake emails trying to get you to.
It's good. They help me a little bit.
They make you aware.
Yeah, you're more vigilant.
This is why they're doing that. You don't want to end up in this situation. 825 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Video component of this next story, you can watch at WTMJ on YouTube. Do that anytime. Click watch now on our website or our digital app. Text watch to 855-616-1620. Greg Hill, producer of the program, will run video that I edited for this piece. This is a pickleball story. Okay, but don't hang up. Don't hang up. This is also a business story.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Are you tired of me talking about pickleball to you?
No, I don't think
you've played.
We have not played. You wouldn't want to play with me.
Aha! That is one element of this story that I think you'll find interesting.
Oh, okay.
I would entirely be glad to play with you. And many pickleball players would. Here's the business end. I had a semi-exclusive look inside this huge indoor pickleball facility that is going up in Menomonee Falls. It's going to be the first Pickleball Kingdom location in our area. I think they started in Arizona, Pickleball Kingdom, and it's franchised out now.
Okay.
And it's coming to Wisconsin. Gregory Straub is one of the owners, invited people in this large former industrial building just off of Silver Spring Drive, west of the freeway there. Still pretty raw, but it's getting there.
You know it's real. You can see other people already looking about where are they going to play? How are they going to, when can they get here? When are you going to be open?
I'll answer that for you right now. They're going to play on one of 17 indoor courts, and they're going to start with a target opening in January. Now, if you've got friends who've been trying to get you into pickleball, you're starting to get exhausted. I know, as I know people, right? Because your friend's like, you really got to play pickleball. We play all the time. We play on this day, that day, and roll your eyes, whatever. Okay. This is Jen Acevedo. She's been in the game 16 years as a certified pickleball instructor. She's a tennis coach as well, but she's been out on the West Coast and is coming here to Wisconsin to run this Pickleball Kingdom.
It's easy to learn. It's easy to bring friends and family with you and say, come and enjoy this with me. And even if you're a beginner, I can teach you how to play. In, you know, the better part of half an hour, we can start playing.
So I believe you. I mean, you're athletic-y. We could teach you how to play. Once you kind of get the hang of it, we could be playing.
I've played pickleball. I just don't know if I'd meet your standard of pickleball play.
What do you think I do out there? I'm less intense than you would think. There is indoor pickleball already at clubs all over, right? And the complaint, though, often is it's, usually on like a gym floor or like a field house floor.
Oh, okay.
It's not a surface that's great for the game.
I got you.
Plus, it's very rarely pickleball exclusive. So you might have things marked up for volleyball and basketball and all these other lines all over the place. This is pickleball exclusive. It's going to be the real deal.
It's a professional level surface. It is what high level tennis courts are. It's what high level PPA pickleball courts are.
So membership based, although you don't have to be a member. So if membership makes sense for you, you want to go multiple times a week, that's great. If you want to just go once and try it, or if you usually play somewhere else, but it's raining that day and now you want to play inside, so you can do that on a case-by-case basis. They'll have a full pro shop that'll be stocked with made in Wisconsin, pro light paddles and equipment. They're out of New Berlin now, best in the business. The full locker room, and then beyond that, they want it to be social. They want it to be a club. Here's Jen again on that.
I mean, there's a bar. You sit, have a drink, have a snack, you know, relax.
You don't even have to play pickleball.
If you don't want to come and play that day, you know what? That's all right.
There you go. Maybe we just go watch a football game.
That'd be fun. Right. Yeah.
Have some little something to eat, some beverages. So that is Pickleball Kingdom. It's going to be west of I-94. It's in an industrial park off of Silver Spring Drive in Menominee Falls. I'll keep you posted right now. Set to open in January.
Well, good news out of South Carolina. The majority of the monkeys are back.
Outstandingly.
Most of the monkeys who
escaped. In the news today, the majority of the monkeys are back.
They escaped a medical research facility in South Carolina. The majority are now back at that research facility.
At least 25 of the 43 monkeys that escaped a compound in South Carolina have been recovered. Alpha Genesis, which provides primates for research worldwide, says the rest remain nearby.
Yeah, they're nearby waiting to come back in. So here's what happened. Apparently last Wednesday at Alpha Genesis, employee in the facility went in there, fed, checked on the monkeys, put the door shut, but then didn't lock the door to the pen. So then all these monkeys were able to get out. Can you imagine being that worker?
Oh, and everybody knows who it is, too. Right? Who closed last night? Richard?
Well, it wasn't me. The monkeys are about the size of a cat. All females, they weigh about 7 pounds, so they're not enormous by any means. They don't expect much trouble from them. I don't think they're carrying a virus, per your concern.
The first thing I thought of, monkeys escape from a lab. I've seen that movie.
A lab called
Dustin
Alpha
Hoffman
Genesis.
Was in it, wasn't he? Was it Dustin Hoffman who was in Outbreak? Right?
Yeah,
that
Outbreak.
Was a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It bit a kid or something like that, and then the whole world got Ebola.
Yeah. So in there.
You're sure?
They say there's
yeah,
no
well,
issue.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
They have
Richard
most...
also said he was sure he locked the door. Well, yeah, I locked. I swear I was the last one here. All right, for real, they say there's nothing wrong with these monkeys.
So if you're wondering what the monkeys do in this research center at Alpha Genesis, the facility breeds the monkeys to sell to medical and other researchers.
Oh, so they don't yet have the Ebola.
Yeah, so then they must give them something to check on them, to study them. To learn from them.
Okay. And so, we have most of them back?
Yeah, 25 of the 43. So they're still trying to gather the rest, but they see them. Most of them are in the area, don't really have a place to go, don't know what to eat on. So there'll be one lone monkey wandering around here probably somewhere in South Carolina in a
you
week or
two.
You
know they all have names, right? We're still looking for Fritzy.
No, they all have codes and stuff. It's probably like N5374 or something.
21389?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still out there.
Yeah.
TK421?
Yeah. Ooh, very good. Yes.
8:46 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I'm going to get you a little bit more information about the situation at a local high school where a graffiti threat caused them to take extensive action. And I'm curious what the nature of the threat was or what other information school administrators might have to cause them to react so differently than we typically see in these types of situations. This is the situation at Pius XI High School. Not been back for in-person learning, have the students, since somebody scrawled threatening messages on the exterior of the building. That was more than a week ago now. And they still won't be in class again today. They're set to return in person tomorrow. There's been some virtual learning mixed in there. But the students have not gone back to the school. And they're going to have metal detectors and armed professional security. The act of vandalism occurred, as I said, more than a week ago. You had surveillance video, and you've probably seen it on the news stations from outside Pius XI High School. It shows a masked individual, orange ski mask covering the person's face. And what appears to be, almost looks like a paint bucket, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just regular old gallon bucket of paint and a brush. And this person's kind of going to town on the exterior, the doors of the school. And then apparently there were messages scrawled on the concrete near the front entranceway. One of them, according to TMJ4 News, read, "Murder kids." And the other, "I am bringing a gun to kill someone." This morning, as I said, no in-person school for Pius students. They are due to return to the building tomorrow. That'd be the first time since this all happened. Pius XI, city of Milwaukee. If you know the area, it's really right around the border of West Allis and Wauwatosa as well. Gillies is near there on Blue Mountain Road.
Old Fruit Ranch
used to be right there. You'd be north of State Fair Park, south of Blue Mountain Road on 76th Street. So MPD is the investigating agency. They have not named a suspect nor indicated whether they're close to finding a suspect. Maybe that's the reason for this increased security. MPD, however, says they're not aware of any active threat on the school other than what was written on the concrete. There was a release, a private statement first to parents, in which Pius has asked parents not to share that statement publicly. And they've asked the media, if they obtain that statement, not to report on it. I'll read their public statement here. Sunday, all students at Pius XI Catholic High School and their guardians were provided a detailed security plan that addresses protocols for drop-off, entry to the building, dismissal, and after-school activities. Maintaining the integrity of these security protocols is paramount to keeping our students and staff safe. If you have obtained details or a copy of this security plan, we respectfully request that you do not share any of that information publicly. I think that's interesting. From time to time, when things happen at schools, parents or others connected to the school will send us or other media outlets, "Hey, this came home to parents today. Thought you guys should know."
Or parents who work in the media will receive these as well.
Yeah, right. We all live somewhere.
Yep.
So if something happens in the school district that our kids are part of, also you have that. What they're saying here is if you get that, talking to us now, if you get that, can you not share this? Because we think it actually would compromise school safety. I will state publicly, neither you nor I or anybody I know here at WTMJ has gotten a hold of this, but that's their request if that were the case. But I also found interesting that they, while when they return tomorrow, they're going to have metal detectors. They say a generous community partner has loaned Pius XI three magnetometers, which would walk through security screening units, additional metal detecting wands. They've already installed the metal detectors. They also say they're going to work with their private security firm to provide armed security during the school day. So these seem to be extraordinary members. I think measures. I think typically when you see this at a school, there's a threat. Maybe it's written in the bathroom. Maybe they find it right outside. They investigate. Sometimes you have authorities come in and do a sweep of the building.
They'll beef up police presence the day or two after.
How many times have you heard us say, "We will have stepped up police patrols around the area"?
Yep.
Right. And then that's that once they deem the threat is not credible. Does this mean that they thought the threat was more credible than others? Don't know, but it seems like a more extreme reaction than we typically see.
You think it's just Pius making sure that better safe than sorry?
Yeah,
could it just be like, "Hey, we have the resources, so let's do this the right way"?
And then there won't be any questions as to whether or not people are safe here, regardless of that suspect still being at large. 8:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
For convenient car shopping and financing, visit Heiser Automotive Group at one of their four locations, Toyota, Chevy, Ford, Lincoln, and Cadillac. Or visit Heiser.com, because today's your day.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Kind of an odd day where we're already at a high temperature and temperatures will fall this afternoon into the 40s. Mostly clear skies tonight. Could be below freezing away from Lake Michigan. A little bit warmer along the lakeshore. I have just 49 degrees on Tuesday. Greg Pancake Hill takes issue with my characterization of I'm not that intense when I play pickleball.
Well, I've heard this story before. So Greg can share it. He has played pickleball with you. You guys were partners once. And
one time we played. We had a nice time. We were teaching Greg how to play.
It was a great time.
Okay.
Until?
To what?
No, it was a great time. You know, obviously, you're an intense competitor, and I admire you for that. I kind of wish I had some of that in my own belly, but at one time, the ball was served, and it was coming through the air, and I said, oh, this is my moment. I got it. It was like the light shined. Oh. Remember, okay. It was off a serve, and yeah. I was like, this is it, and I smacked it back. And I was like, look at that, Vince, I got us a point. And you said? No, go ahead, what'd you say?
Gotta let it bounce, jackass.
And there it is.
You called him a jackass.
Ask us if we've played pickleball since.
Because I just told him. I just told him.
Well,
he was so happy, too. Watch this.
I was like, I'm going to get us a point, look at this.
It was a sweet comeback, huh? It was a nice spike. But
I mean, it looked great.
It did look great.
Just didn't count.
Was that the day we played with Tausch? There was that added intensity as well. I'm intense, Tausch. Forget about it. 8:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Great to be with you on this Monday. WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi up next.